Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered troops into two areas of eastern Ukraine after recognizing them as independent yesterday. The move is escalating tensions between Russia and the West. With me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key global stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, we have to start there, of course. Things seem to be developing quickly in this conflict, several changes in just the last 24 hours. What else are you watching out for and anticipating in the next several days?
Yeah, well, this really is a rapidly moving story, Mark. We've already seen Russia send tanks and troops into the separatist regions of Donetsk and Luhansk. Russia says these troops are peacekeepers. The US, amongst others, says that is nonsense. The question is whether they're going to occupy areas that separatist rebels already occupy or whether they're going to spread further. If they're going to spread further, that is an act of war. Ukraine has said it will not tolerate that. Europe has done what it has always said it would do and start to impose sanctions. The UK, for example, immediately frozen the assets of five Russian banks and placed sanctions on several senior Russian figures. Now, arguably not a huge deal because these were individuals and banks that the US already had sanctions on and has done for a few years. So some people saying this is too little too late, but nonetheless, it's what the UK has done. Germany has halted the Nord Stream 2 Russian gas pipeline. That's prompted a sharp rise in energy prices. Now, Europe gets 40% of its energy from Russian gas, so that's a big deal. How has Russia responded? Well, it's shrugged them off. It says, sanctions? What sanctions? We're used to it, says the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. A few things to watch out for in the days ahead. More military movement from Russia, creeping closer and closer to areas that are fully sovereign areas of Ukraine. A second thing is more sanctions. Europe is expected to impose more sanctions on Russia, the US as well, just tightening the screw on the Kremlin. The ones that have been implemented so far are severe, but they could be more so. Third is more military activity on the other side. Now, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he will send British troops to the region and to NATO allies if NATO asks for it. And countries that border Ukraine, Mark, are increasingly nervous. Hungary is sending troops to its border with Ukraine. Poland, Slovakia, we expect them to do the same. Now, these are NATO countries, so it's not that we expect them to be invaded by Russia. It's because they're worried about a humanitarian crisis. Suddenly, hundreds, thousands, potentially millions of people fleeing Ukraine into these neighbouring European countries. Now, let's add some perspective here. The West has been very critical of Russia, but not everyone is anti-Moscow. Cuba's communist government has accused the West of a propaganda war. Syria says it supports Russia's decision to recognize these breakaway republics in Ukraine. North Korea has called on the US to cease this hostile policy of isolating Russia. And media in Iran has been pretty sympathetic to Moscow. So a mix of opinions there. Couple of dates to look out for. Tomorrow is a public holiday in Russia marking the anniversary of the creation of the Red Army. Now, Russia is a country like many, which likes to celebrate its military history, often with military parades, flexing of the muscles. Are they going to do the same again tomorrow? We'll have to wait and see. And on Thursday, Ukraine is supposed to be disconnecting its power grid from Russia to test how well it survives outside of that Russian economic sphere. We'll wait and see how that goes.
Lots to keep our eyes on there for sure. So, Rich, typically when we talk about America's international relations, it's one of two countries we're talking about, Russia, as we just discussed, or China. And usually those discussions are pretty negative around tension, dealing with trade or politics or diplomacy, but not so much this week, right? What's happening?
Yeah, so this is to do with China, Mark, and that's because China is celebrating its relationship with America this week. That's because it's 50 years since that historic visit that Richard Nixon made. He was the first US president to visit the People's Republic of China back in 72. It was called The Week That Changed the World. There was a movie made about it with the same name. This trip at the time came 6 years after Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution started. Western influences were being purged from Chinese culture, so it was hugely significant at the time. US forces were still in Vietnam, and this was part of Nixon's bigger plan to bring a peaceful end to the war. There was lots of pomp and ceremony, as you would expect. But key to it was during that trip, he signed, Richard Nixon signed the Shanghai Communique. That was the first formal document normalizing relations between the United States of America and the People's Republic of China. Everything US-China now, trade, politics, diplomacy, can be traced back to this visit and that document. So there are events being held this week, Mark. The Nixon Presidential Library, for example, in California, if you're going that way, that's got a special exhibition on. But China as well, they're really proud of this history, really proud of this visit when they welcomed Richard Nixon. So events across China this week celebrating the 50th anniversary of that visit.
Huh. And Rich, another important anniversary this week, also in Asia, but one with a very present day relevance. What's going on with that one?
Yeah, this is in the Philippines, and it's another 50th anniversary, actually. It's 50 years since the president there, Ferdinand Marcos, placed the country under martial law, which was the beginning of his dictatorship, which lasted 14 years. Every year, there's a public holiday in this week marking the overthrow of the Marcos dictatorship. Every year, victims of abuses carried out during that period gather around monuments to remember what happened. But Mark, this year could be the last one, and that's because the family is making a political comeback. Ferdinand Marcos's son, who is known as Bongbong Marcos, is running for president in an election that's due in May. Now, he's an ally of the current president, Rodrigo Duterte. He can't run again because he's already done his term limit under the constitution. And Bongbong is leading in the polls. He's actually formed an allyship, if you like, with Rodrigo Duterte's daughter, Sarah. They're working together. And despite his father's rule, Bongbong Marcos is pretty popular, especially in areas that were always loyal to his father. The thing is, critics say he's trying to whitewash history and erase the memory of the brutality of his father's dictatorship. There are also lots of unanswered questions in the country about money, and that's because Ferdinand Marcos, his wife, his cronies are thought to have plundered around $10 billion from public funds in the Philippines. It's still a mystery where much of that went, and this in a country with, you know, stark differences between rich and poor. But as I say, an anniversary this week marking 50 years since the beginning of that dictatorship, but this year could be the last time that is celebrated.
Interesting. All right, we'll have to leave it there. That is the BBC's Rich Preston in London. Rich, as always, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.